G'day, everybody, and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This podcast is brought to you by the brand new Mazda BT50, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the Loose Ballers on a big day for news in football. If you haven't subscribed to the pod yet, please do that and hit us up on Instagram as well, at Hardball Gets AFL. Important announcements like we couldn't get our shit together on Monday, and so two-minute warning's coming out later this week.
Public holiday deal for the first one, and old Nicky has had kittens because we've got commitments on a public holiday.
Mate, I think I ended up pulling the pin because I got started getting a bit too busy.
Mate, we're all too busy. We'll circle
all
back.
All right, we'll follow on the other side. We'll do
it. Let's say it like this, gentlemen. Well, in theory, though, gentlemen, as well, we've been doing this podcast for a long time and it's rating very, very well. The first two times I've ever been late is when Nico's in the house. I don't know, is the boss, like, breaking the culture of the show?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's funny.
Hang on, big issue today, Dil. Let's park this one and do the other side of the jingle. Roll the jingle.
Hang on, let's pause for the jingle. Right, Nick's
We're
a
back.
Knob, mate. I've actually been dealing with his fraud issue at the moment through Seven West.
Oh, please, mate.
The invoice gate, mate. He doesn't hand my invoices in. Then I invoice them and they accuse me of trying to get paid twice. He's very uncomfortable to be in the building at the moment. I'll give you the hot tip. I think it's fair after eight weeks of not being paid, you give them the 14 days. But then after 8 weeks, when you circle back and say, hey, just want to get this one paid, they're like, yeah, mate, you've submitted that. I'm like, yeah, 60 days ago.
Nah.
Can you pay it, please?
Yeah.
I've set up all my reminders now. I'm on zero. And I just, like, every 4 days, send a reminder. Don't care.
No, you know what the issue was, Dil? You know, there's one issue, and it's not me and it's not finance. It's the person in between who doesn't send them on.
No. We're working through a couple of issues with our payment system and the flow. It's a technology problem, I reckon. The software.
And then the missus tried to tell me how to invoice properly, and I was like, what, do you think you're fucking Jeff Bezos or something? Like, shut it.
I just want to keep a couple unpaid as like almost like when you change footy clubs and they chase you out for rego fees.
Yeah.
So if anyone goes to leave, I can say, well, look, you leave, you're not getting that.
When Dil and I over at Channel 10 doing a podcast out of Perth.
There'll be a transfer issue. So massive day for footy news. It's big it's big across the country, Dil, but I imagine Melbourne's going insane.
Bonkers. We have nothing else to really talk about at the moment, but this morning was unbelievable. Like, it's been a big, big, miserable day of a footy. Like, it is absolutely cowing down with rain. It's wet. It's cold. It's like the biggest wintry day we've had of the year so far. Nathan Buckley news obviously drops. Carlton, we put it lightly, but they're really nowhere at the moment. It's the shit is really hit the fan. I've got something on this, by the way, that I've realised with Carlton.
Okay.
I've realised with any team under the pump. Because I remember this from my days of playing footy. You never, when you're under the pump and you're out of form, you really want to look to the schedule and never play a Sunday afternoon game.
Fresh news.
You're going to be front page of the newspaper on Monday.
Yeah, like, and all the Monday shows.
You want to stick to the Saturday arvos.
Yeah.
Exactly. You want to stick to the Saturday arvos.
You've got
to
have another game running at the same time.
And blend
at the
very
least.
And blend in with a blockbuster where, like, they go, you know, Melbourne v Bulldogs or whatever, all the attention's on the fight for the championship. And then side note, it's like, oh, we'll give Carlton a shit, give them one page, and then we'll move on. You're right, Sundays are no good for no good teams.
So Buckley caught everyone off guard a bit this morning.
Well, Pendles had no idea, and you'd think he'd be one of the first to know.
Yeah, you'd imagine that phone call gets made.
Yeah, it didn't.
The mechanics of how everything gets leaked out is always interesting, and it's particularly at a club where there's board fights and everything at the moment. Like every department's in a bit of a mess.
It's no good. I think Clarko, Dil, I think he said, it might have been this morning or recently, he says like the five pillars in a footy club. It's like head coach, CEO, chairman, list manager and one other. And
Football manager.
You need consistency there. And Collingwood have changed all five.
Jeez.
Yep. Like, all gone.
It was inevitable really, wasn't it? When you saw Buckley come out last week and he was really strong on saying the board was, you know, he was
back weird.
In the current board that they had. It was weird. And it looked like, it really did look like if that was to change, then he wouldn't be happy. I didn't really pick up on that at all at the time. As you do, you sort of think, yeah, they're struggling, but he's not going to like leave halfway through the year. But look, I don't know about you blokes, but I really love Nathan Buckley.
I think he's great.
So much. I think he's an absolute star. I reckon no coach, I don't want to say plays the media. I want to say no coach is more genuine in the media. Like he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he's so humble. He's you know, charismatic.
But he never used to be. And like something turned. Yeah,
he changed, didn't he? Yeah. Something about his storytelling that he did. Someone must have like sat him down and said, mate, you need to be open up a bit more. You need to show your vulnerability. And he's done it. So I think no matter what happens, I really hope that we haven't seen the last of him, which I don't think we have. I think he's going to coach a team next year. I hope so anyway. And I think it's going to be real credit to whoever gets him.
Oh, see, I'm on board with everything you guys are saying. And it's almost like he changed the way he went about 2018. Coaching and just you wound it back a bit. And then it seems like list management and everyone who was handling the salary cap at that place absolutely cut him off at the knees.
Yeah, but,
and he goes into this year and it's a mess.
He must have known. He must have been involved.
Mm.
Like Ned Guy's gone.
Yeah.
That's obvious. But he must have to – for the club to be in such an ordinary situation, and they reckon there's another big piece to fall as well. So you must have some idea.
You have to have been across it to some extent.
There's
a lot more to play out. There's got to be a lot more to play out here.
For a senior coach to wander in and go, oh, Struth, we're $1.5 million over the salary cap, that can't be fresh news.
No.
Maybe it was an almighty throw at the stumps and they thought that other pieces would fall into place along the way, which they didn't. Dane Beams obviously was the killer. But
realistically, even with that though, Zay, like you look at senior coaches, their role is holistic. Like it's the whole thing. It's keeping everyone happy, the players happy, the board members happy, everyone around them. But surely the salary cap can't fall on the coach. Like that can't be something that he's got to stick on top of as well. Yes, he's got to have an understanding, but at the end of the day, that's a list manager and the head of football's role to make sure that is.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. But I also think that Clarko, for example, would have said round one, he would have gone, I think we need a key position, keep an eye out on what Oscar Allen's situation is, or keep an eye out on, and he would be pushing them and pushing them and pushing them. Whereas the answer would have to have been, oh, sorry, mate, we're $2 million over the salary cap. No good.
Well, I wonder if that's where the fall down is, right? And it probably changes at every club, but whether Buckley goes, someone, list manager, football manager comes up to him, says, we can probably get Dane Beams back. Do you want to do it? And he says, yeah, of course, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it down the track, it's kind of like a, how much do we pay him?
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Like he ticks off the individual, but not the salary.
I still reckon when you, yeah, you have to have known they were so far over the salary cap. Mate, they had a fire sale and got rid of Tom Phillips, who's had a pretty ordinary year, but it was potentially that All-Australian sort of wingman at Collingwood. Adam Treloar, who was the leading disposals getter and can find 40 on a whim. The rab-rising star, gone. Like, it wasn't as if it was like, well, we're touch or go, we're going to have to maybe try and get Grundy for 3 years, not 7 years. It was like they blew it out of the water.
And it goes back to talking about storytelling that before then, Dill, I'd like to see what situation they'd be in now if they all got their story straight at the time.
Whether they walked in and said, we've butchered this.
Yeah.
Remember they said, we're not emptying out. There's still a chance of AP and C. Everyone's like, tell us you've absolutely cooked it. Yeah. Like,
just fess up.
So you reckon Bucks will coach next year, Dill?
I hope so. I reckon he will. I think he'd be an asset to any team, to be honest. Like, you could even see at the moment, I don't know, again, this is just hearsay and me even just thinking it, but imagine him coming in as a bit of a director of coaching of Carlton. Like, he's taken a team to the grand final. He knows what he's doing. He's been at Collingwood. I think we're working it out today, and I'm not going to even try and work the maths out of my head, but since 1999. So it's a long, long – 93.
Actually. No, 93. Yeah.
293.
So I was born in 1993. I was born – that's 28 years ago. He was been there for 28 years pretty much straight from his career.
Was it a long time to be at a football club. 1 year with Channel 7 in the middle, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, eight years at seven.
Yeah.
So 1 year off. He's done that his whole time. Imagine then like taking that knowledge, being able to implement it in a new club where he doesn't have those ties, being able to do it. I'd love to, see him help out the Blues. I think he's got a lot to offer. I do think Teague is going to be the senior coach. I don't think they can sack him. I don't think they can. But bringing in another guy like that to help him out, and maybe Bucks is over having all the pressure on him and he can just sit behind and make some big calls.
I think Teague's in an absolute world of trouble, and I think it'll be sooner rather than later.
Think so.
Well, so Collingwood have moved, and
they've forced Carlton to make a decision.
Carlton to make the decision and make it pretty quickly, because at the moment Ross Lyon's front and square.
Ross Lyon's the one who's been in the background, basically spelling out how he'd coach Collingwood for the last 6 months.
Like they're at a table going, "Gee whiz, Collingwood cooked the books in the end of season." Ross Lyon's like, "No, they didn't. It was very creative in the end." So
yeah,
I think they're it's forced Carlton to make a decision and make it quickly. Ross Lyon's front and square. We spoke to Tom Brown this morning on radio. He reckons Clarko's 1A.
For Collingwood?
I have someone here, Zave, that I think could actually, that we no one's really spoken about yet. I reckon they could be going after Sam Mitchell.
Well, that's what I'm – the hand needs to be like – so it's either, for example, Clarko to Collingwood, Mitch to Hawthorn.
Yep.
Or so Mitch Clarko is there, to, on, Mitch is there to be taken. So Carlton can't sit on their hands and go, is Teague as good a coach as Ross Lyon, Sam Mitchell, Clarko?
Maybe this is why. You didn't see Clarko, was it last week, was talking about how Mitch needs a longer apprenticeship and stuff. He knew they were going for the same job. He's like, oh, nah, mate, you stick around here.
Fact, I can't see Clarko going from one job to another within 2 months. I can't see that. I can see a 12-month gap between job to job.
Okay, so you don't think he jumps straight from one club to the other? You think he has a year off?
I reckon he does. Like, it's just – how often do clubs go from one to the other? The boss did, Ross did, from St Kilda to Frio.
Yeah, probably. But a lot of the time, Mildhouse, West Coast to Hollywood.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen often, does it?
No.
It's a 12-month.
Mick from Collingwood to Carlton?
He had a year. He did his Channel 7 year as well.
Yeah, he did.
So there's that year that they sit there and
get paid by Channel 7.
And patiently watch every single thing burn down in a footy club and just sit there quietly and not say anything and go, oh, I'll coach. No worries. Yeah. Give us $1 million.
Yeah.
So I reckon, Teague's on borrowed time, big time.
You've been a long time.
I've actually thought a lot about this as well today as well. I reckon there's a couple more. Like, you've got Brad Scott as well. To be honest, I don't know if his credentials are there. Like, I know people said that he took a team that shouldn't have been there to a prelim final, but realistically, with North Melbourne, I don't know if he did a great deal there.
Well, Brayshaw says
– thrown up a lot in these
– Brayshaw, who was president at the time, says that was a pox list. Like, the list was no good, and he got him to prelim. So, no, I agree with you, Dill. He's one that's obviously in the mix.
That's a good one, Dill. I hadn't thought of that. That's like – you know,
JB rose his boat a fair bit in the media.
So the money ball idea, which is like what they do with Oakland Athletics, and it got them so far. And then someone applied that same thinking to the Boston Red Sox, and they won all these championships. It'd be a similar thing there. Like, if he can get North Melbourne to produce at that level, imagine what he could do with the sort of funding.
With the resources and stuff. Well, maybe Softcat might handicap that a fraction, but from the old days. But, yeah. Who's the other one you like, Dill?
So, there was Brad Scott, Sam Mitchell. Someone was jumping one Choco, today. Was actually Lepich.
Oh, yeah, Lepich.
Well.
Yeah.
He's had a year out of the game doing a bit of media, and it looks like, as we've said today, it looks like that's what happens. You coach a bit, do 1 year out of the game, then you come back in. So, he's another one. And then, obviously, Michael Voss gets thrown up a lot. But it's almost as well, if your name gets thrown up too many times and you go for these jobs and you don't land one, it sort of then nearly puts you on the outer as well. So who knows what's going to happen with this situation.
Remember when Dimmer went for the Essendon job?
Oh, yeah. His PowerPoint didn't work.
And Clarko took his computer off him or something happened. And everyone's like, oh, Dimmer, Hardwick's gone for a job and missed it. And you're right, you get that mark next to your name for literally like having a swing at it. I don't get it. I think if you put your hand up, and someone's better than you, it's just bad luck. You might be the best person for the next job, but you shouldn't get the scratch next. You know, Choco Williams, another one, Dill. Richmond during all that development and the premierships, and then he's at Melbourne now and being credited. But it's funny, you don't go to Melbourne, or you go to Melbourne and they're no good. There's no talk with Choco. Melbourne are good. It's like, it's Choco. It's like Don Pike at Sydney. Don Pike touch. It's interesting. So, all right, if you had to right now, what are you saying? Who's coaching Collingwood? And what's the situation you see at Hawthorn and Carlton, I suppose?
This is such a hard question, man. So hard.
Do you want me to swing it to Nick Green first?
Well, it's just so hard because I'd love to see Ross Lyon come back. I reckon I'd love to see him go to Collingwood. It would be great. But from what I've heard, he's loving life outside of the AFL. He's got a great gig. He's in the media. He's doing real estate and he's loving life. The stress would be just nothing near what he'd appreciate at a AFL club. So whether he actually wants to put his hand out for the job or not is unknown. I think that if Collingwood have made this decision, they've got someone already in there. I feel like they've got someone there that must be in their sight. So I sort of feel like it, and the way Buckley said the direction of the club, it makes me feel like maybe they are looking to rejuvenate it and go someone younger, which is why I do think Sam Mitchell could be the coach of Collingwood.
Okay. And you reckon Teague stays and Clarko stays, I suppose?
I think someone comes in with Teague. Okay. I know Wolfsfeld's there at the moment, but I think something – look, Carlton's a watch this space, mate. Yep. Like, I've said this for a long time. I love the Blues more than anything, but something that as a supporter now that really annoys me and hurts me as a spectator is the fact of how reactive they are with things.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they sign this new coach, then things don't go well. The board jumps on, they get a new board, everyone wants to have a say, they'll sack the coach and bring someone else in. It's literally a revolving door. Like, yeah. It is literally a revolving door. So I just don't know what they're going to do.
Nick?
I like that. I like Buckley to Carlton. It's probably like a – is that a part-time role, you reckon, like a director?
No, it'd be
coaching?
A fully.
Full-time, yeah.
All right. So we'll go Buckley to Carlton as a, like, director.
Yeah.
I think – yeah, and I'd love to see Ross as well. Ross at Collingwood. I miss Ross.
Yeah.
Much as like when I was a baby reporter, get thrown onto the Fremantle beat, he was a little bit terrifying.
a little bit terrifying. So terrifying. I'm going to go with Ross Lyon, Collingwood, and Sam Mitchell, Carlton.
Sam Mitchell, Carlton.
I know nothing. I haven't heard anything.
Wow.
I just
don't think Carlton can go for another young coach again. If they're going to get another coach.
Or vice versa,
no
maybe.
Way. Yeah, there's no way, like, there's no benefit in moving on Teague and getting Sam Mitchell. I know Sam Mitchell's an absolute superstar, but he's still an undersized
young coach. Young coach.
So maybe I'll flip it.
Swapping for, yeah.
Maybe I'll go Ross to Carlton, Mitchell to Collingwood. That's how
I could see Ross at Carlton. I could see Ross Lyon at Carlton.
Yeah. He wants a big club.
Brad Lloyd's there as well. Yeah. Brad Lloyd, yeah. Who was his go-to man at Fremantle.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There is some talk around that they might have had towards the end. That
I reckon Ross had a few falling outs.
So he might have had a bit of falling out, and that might have been half the reason Brad said, oh, stuff this.
Well, I think Roscoe burnt everyone out, though. There hasn't once been a senior coach from Ross become a senior coach.
No. John Barker was the closest when he was in the mix for that Carlton job.
When was John Barker?
I think he was there under him at St Kilda.
Yeah, possibly.
At St Kilda, yeah.
Yeah, after he left.
I think he was the closest. But, yeah, you're right. Clark has never 50. Had an assistant become a senior coach.
Whereas Clark has had almost half the league.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? It burns him out.
What's Mitch? Does Mitch fire up? Like, I saw it behind the scenes of his Box Hill coaching, and I've seen a couple of these now, and he seems very measured. And I'm wondering if that selective editing –
Does Mitch fire up? He's the biggest prick I've ever spoken to. Does Mitch fire up? Jesus. Dill, you and me wouldn't last long under Sam Mitchell, mate. We're not a big fan of those people that run around the outside.
Thinking about it.
Yeah, not great feedback if we've had zero tackles and eight touches.
Yeah, right, okay. So there might be.
No, he actually had to soften that. He was hard and harsh early days.
Mm.
Which
he made it all himself, sort of thing.
Yeah, well, he was missed the draft, then went and played for Box Hill, got drafted mature age, then sat on the bench for Harford, who would play most of the game, won the Liston medal playing 10 games, that's 11 games, 10 best on grounds and won one voter, and then became an AFL player. So for 5 years, he did it the hard way.
Mm.
And then, then once he got in and realised he was a star, then he sort of got told, like, maybe you don't need to yell at me all the time.
Was that just by you?
please, Sam. Like, I'm pretty close to crying out here. Just go a bit softer. But, hey, Dill, did you ever play that used to just go hard at you? Teammate?
Andrew Carrazzo. Carrazzo was really, really tough. Like, but honestly, it was always respectful. It was always followed up. It wasn't personal. Like, he was just a great teammate, but very intense. Like, And I actually look back now and really appreciate it, because even though I was early in my career, no chance of playing, he still treated you like you were.
Yeah.
And that's probably what, you know, realistically now looking back, that's what Carlton just haven't had enough of.
Intense
I've
is a good word.
With him. Intense, yeah. Like, yeah. I think I've thought about it a lot, and people say, like, a losing culture. And Zay, I reckon you'll agree with this. Like, when you went to Hawthorn, and I know that was when Hawks were sort of starting to get good, but you would have gone into that team playing with good players that are comfortable of their position every week. They know they're playing good footy and they're happy to bring you into the team to play a good role.
Mm.
Whereas when your team isn't going so well and you're a young player coming into a team with senior players that aren't really confident, they don't know if they're going to get another contract, that they're not confident on their position every week, they don't know where they stand in the group, they don't really bring in young players as well. And that's what I think's really happened with Carlton over a long period of time. There hasn't been enough players that are really confident and know how to teach young players. Like you look at Brad Hill, for example, and we talk about this, you know, most weeks now. When he was playing at Hawthorn as a first year player, they were just you guys were giving him the ball and letting him do his thing. He was just absolutely dominating. Then he goes to a team like St Kilda. They're not as strong. They don't really have the players that are confident in themselves every week. No one's giving him the footy.
I see that too often. And then there's some games they do give it to him. Like, oh, Brad Hill's pretty good. And then they don't give it to him again. Yeah, I agree. Sam Mitchell, Luke Hodge, intense. Like, real intense. And then got told just a couple of gears. And then they found a good, like a blend where you'd have some fun with him out there as well.
Do you reckon he's ready to jump?
Yeah, 100%. He was ready to coach when he was almost playing.
Well, how was he at West Coast, basically, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, we went to West Coast and then obviously coached West Coast. Now he's done a couple of years at Hawthorn.
Yeah.
So what's that, 4 years?
Yeah, well, it was his – it's probably been at least that, hasn't it? Yeah.
West Coast. Yeah, this will be 4th year.
Is that all you – that'd be – I mean, really, if you don't figure that's it out plenty. After 4 years.
No, that's plenty. Yeah. Put him in. I need a job. I'm out of contract.
Throw your hand up.
I'll do the development stuff or whatever it is. Anyway.
That's my lock in with Sam Doherty. As soon as he finishes footy, he takes over a role. I've said to him, I'll work in development and I'll be your runner.
Yeah, don't throw that runner around. I know you've pledged to be the runner for Mick Barlow's Werribee side, and you've pulled out of that before round one.
Mate, I've locked in. I've nominated myself for the runner for the Northern Blues, Carlton, Giants, Werribee, and I think I committed to some other team the other day as well. So, and I haven't done either of them yet.
Could you be runner at Carlton, do you reckon? Would you enjoy being runner at Carlton?
Oh, I'd love to be a runner. It'd be unbelievable. I reckon it'd be awesome. I'd absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I love footy still. I just don't want to play it.
No, I agree, mate. I actually went to the gym today. That's for 20 minutes on the treadmill.
That's already?
No, yeah, pretty. But like running, you're at least connected to the club. You sit in a couple of meetings. You hear what it's like still. You're out in the field. You're riding the bumps with them. Oregon runner's not a bad job. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah. Some of the other things that are bobbling on. So I know we touched on Carlton before. You had another Mark Murphy.
Yeah, Mark Murphy deal. I'd be interested to hear what you – Carlton are cooked, absolutely rooted. Mark Murphy's played 295 games, I think it is. I think he needs 5 more to 300. Been sub, was ordinary on the weekend. Do Carlton get him to 300? Is that what you – like, you don't give away games in AFL, but has Mark Murphy earned the right to be limped to 300?
It's a great question. Mick, you know, Barlow had a chat with him about this morning, and he was pretty bullish on the fact that he didn't think, you know, that you should be trying to get players to 300. And I agree. I don't think you should. But what I do think is take the 300 away from it, and at the end of the day, he wants to be playing still. Whether he goes on again, that's another question. Like, it doesn't look likely. It looks like he will finish up this year. But if he's in your best 22, no matter of 300 games, anything, but if he's actually going to get you to a stage where he can help you win, you've got to play him, regardless of the fact of the 300. Okay, like, I don't feel that there's anyone there jumping out that's going to, like, take his spot that will actually have dominance in the future. Like, I don't think there's any young player there that he's holding out of the team. Like, the person he's holding out of the team, do they deserve the spot as well? Like, there's not even any twos players playing at the moment. So, like, what's the harm?
It's the same four blokes at Carlton, isn't it? They go in and out all the time anyway.
Exactly. It's not like he's holding out, you know, a top three pick that can't get a game. Everyone that's getting a game should be getting a game. Okay, there's not many other blokes down there that haven't been given a chance. So it's not like he's stunting the development of a young kid. And I still think that he can have impact this season. I think that he's a Carlton man. He still wants to have a good crack for the rest of the year. Look, I am biased because he is a mate and I know how much he loves a club. But from my point of view, I'm not saying give him 300 games and just let him play his 300th for a romantic send-off. But I'm saying let him play because realistically, who else is going to be playing at the moment? And he's still... Yes, he's not playing as best as he can, but he's still having impact more than what other blokes are.
Yeah.
I think you'd piss off his friends. So, like, that point where no one's ahead of him, and if you just want to blood youth for the sake of blooding youth, you're going to piss off all the people who like him who think, like, we should have got him. We should have got him there. We shouldn't have just dropped him for the sake of dropping him.
So, I'm usually a bit of a grumpy old prick about this and say, no, you don't deserve it. Get him to 300. I think, like, he was drafted the year I was drafted deal, and to think that – the matter, and I was no good, he was very good. But to think the matter of two picks separated
was he? Oh, yeah, you were.
Mark Murphy from Hawthorn, where they were successful. He could have won four premierships. Yeah, he was close to that.
Mm.
And then he was at Carlton and they were horrible, like as bad as you get for a long period of time. And he fronted up every week. I had his injuries, had a couple of shoulders or a little couple of knees or whatever. But
that
like
was sort of later.
Yeah, but it's fronted up though every single week and played through some tough times at Carlton. I think if you get him to 300, regardless how bad he's going, and then at 300 you might go, Murph, you're not going to play next year, mate. Or send him off on his 300th in front of a Melbourne crowd. Dill, correct me if I'm wrong, but things are opening up in Melbourne and at the end of the week or something. So you're on the right path. I think it'd be great. Get him to 300. He's not going to play next year. I think that's pretty evident. I don't think many other clubs would be chasing Murph.
What else do they have to celebrate at the moment besides?
Yeah.
That's right. I think I was thinking,
if I'm in the ticketing department at Carlton, I'm saying to the coaches and everyone, please give Mark Murphy a 300th because we're not getting people in on performance.
Yeah, the board are going, hey, we need to show so we don't all lose our jobs, that we're actually making some money.
Yeah, we need to sell some tickets.
I think it'd be great to see Murph 300 and a send-off. Brilliant. Because I think he deserves it. That's my thoughts on it.
Yep. No, I love it. I think we do too. Like at the end of the day, he's been a great servant for the club. I'm not saying give him the games. I want him to get to 300, but I sort of think, yes, he hasn't been playing as well as he can, but he still deserves it more than others at the moment.
Have you got a screwdriver in your hand?
Drop probably. I do. I'm getting angry. This is a weapon in case someone tells me to drop him.
Yeah, you go, Shiv. It's funny the sliding doors with Murph, isn't it? Because he could have gone to Brisbane, but it would have been equally like
Brisbane as well.
Tough an experience, and
they were better.
Only briefly, because it wasn't long. What year?
They blew it up, didn't they? 2005.
I feel like 2008 was the Fev.
You're right. But I mean, he was a good player. He was like an almost team changing player there for a while, like getting 30s and stuff. Murph was a good player there in that patch.
Oh yeah,
He would have made Brisbane better.
Yeah, but they were pretty bad.
Yeah, they were bad, and then they lost everyone.
Yeah,
and then they researched like Doherty, Yo, Pollock. There was another one the other day I was watching.
It was a big ruckman who went to Billy Longer.
Who
was a top 10 draft pick.
There was another one who played at Brisbane.
They had incredible players. They had Elliot Yeo, Sam Doherty, Billy Longer in one draft.
Jack Redden on the bike. Jack Redden. I just got an email from Redo actually.
Oh, yeah?
Bit of business.
Oh, what are you going into?
I can't say.
You go, mate. I think Dill's got about 400 business names registered, I heard the other day. So if you need one.
Me and Dill are doing a podcast for Channel 9, actually.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Well, I'll just get the word to the accounts department. Just tell them to put a hold on those.
Apparently they pay.
Not much, but it actually comes into your account. What else have we got?
One I wanted to float. So Nick Cox finally got the Rising Star nomination.
Yeah.
This is the unicorn lesson in 200 centimetres. Like impacts, runs on a wing. He's already favourites with a couple of bookies.
Yeah.
And my point is, there's no one, and there's already like a lot of the, and this happens sometimes, a lot of the Melbourne-centric media just love someone from Essendon, Carlton or Collingwood. Have they not been watching Tom Green at all? Already like on, how is Tom Green not a $1 favourite?
So Cox is $3. Tom Green's $3.25.
Yeah, how did this happen? Tom Green's had 30s and like kick goals and impacted games in that way.
Matt Rowe returning this week at $8. Not a bad look.
You're banking on injuries to Cox and Green this week.
Nah, mate, I'm banking on him being the star. Oh. What do you make of the NAB Rising Star deal?
Yeah, speaking to a nominee, actually, so have some respect in 2015.
Did you get the TV back then or the TV's gone by then?
No, they were gone by then, definitely.
Back in the day, you used to get one.
I was embarrassed as, mate. I rocked up and I was like one of those people that got nominated in my third year. So I was like 21. All these other blokes are like still 17 and I was going to win. I was like, what is going on here? This is just embarrassing.
Big Thule on the Gold Coast during school. He's like,
oh, mate, it was awkward. It was very awkward. But I love the Rising Star. I think I really do love the award. I think two equal winners. Like Nick Cox is unbelievable. And the one thing I do like about this award is they pick it. Normally it does get picked on
performance
and not the potential.
Yeah.
So I think a few years ago, like Bont came second to, I think in my year, he came second to Lewis Taylor, everyone knew the Bont's going to be what he was going to be, but it was great that Louis Taylor won it that year because he did have a better year.
Reece Palmer was bloody good though.
That year, he was very good that year.
He was great. Very good. I'm biased. I love Tom Green. I played with him in the NEAFL before he got picked up. He's an absolute star. He's the next Paddy Cripps. Actually, you know what? He's the next Tom Green. He's a very good player. He's going to be a star.
Imagine so if he I played think in
both
Melbourne.
Players, Nick Costa, I'd be happy with both of them. Oh,
yeah, are you saying if he played in Melbourne, he'd be good?
Oh, gee, let's not go there, please. I don't want to get stuck in that crap again.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like Tom Green, every game he plays, I'd get 5 to 10 messages on Instagram.
Because he's your son.
Saying, mate, look at your boy go. Are you proud of him? Like they now do side by sides. Like it's every single week, man, Tom Green. Nick Cox is going to be an absolute megastar.
Yeah.
200 centimetres, how good. They do overhype that left foot. I'm just going to put it out there. He kicked a floater on his left. And it went through. It might have been the SCG, and it looked good. But he didn't hit it that well. It went through, though. Now, when they swings onto his left, like, oh, Cox on his left, he cannot hit the side of a barn door on his left. No, he's better than that. But
even any player over 200 centimetres normally hits their shin. So
oh, yeah, mate.
It's impressive.
I think that's why the commentators get something about, like, his big 200 centimetres swinging onto his left. When I say barn door, that's incorrect. But he's not that good on his left. Everyone gets a bit aroused over it. But I think Tom Green, if you actually go pound for pound, like you said, Dill, who's had the better season? Tom Green's last few weeks has been exceptional. So, yeah, that's right. But Matt Rowe's coming, and I'm going to be coming off for that too.
I might go to that game too.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'll wear my Gold Coast inaugural.
Nick's like a full-on Frio, full Nuffy. Cheer squad stuff.
No, come on. The year I took away from footy – I started to – because when you're working in footy every day, it's real hard to support a team.
Yeah.
Especially when you're working with them because none of them are that –
they're not agreeable. That nice.
But then I started to get a little back in when I stepped aside from footy and I don't have to do much. I support them, but I'm not –
At the 2013 grand final deal, at the 2013 grand final, there's Vision of Nick. Someone ran in and kicked a goal for free. I might even Pav. On the goal line, and Nick's over the fence with a big flogger.
I have seen that. Was that with the purple face paint?
Yes, it was. So that was him.
You know, there's a couple of those going around. Is it Tom? Who's your mate? He went to Melbourne Grammar.
Tom Morris.
Isn't there that picture of him dressed up in the Melbourne gear, face paint?
He's a Melbourne man.
At Daniel Cherney at the age, I think there's a picture of him in full St Kilda paint.
Yeah,
no, that's over a fence. I was actually at that 2013 grand final. I ended up getting all my flights paid and everything for work. So I was already there on a Buxton that whole week.
Oh, how good.
So I wish we'd booked in January, and then all of a sudden Freo are playing. They said, can you work? I was like, yeah, just can you pay for all my flights and accommodation?
I did that for a wedding the other day, last year, 2 years ago in Melbourne. They're like, oh, Zave, work needs to send you for a photo in Melbourne. And usually I kick and scream. But I was like, yeah, great, no worries. Book me on these times on this day, and I went straight to the wedding.
And stay at this hotel.
Hey, quickly, while we got Dill, I got the New South Wales Blues on. Who wins tonight, Dill, to start with?
Very disappointing, Dill.
And State of Origin
bleed
AFL.
Blue, boys.
State of Origin
or
AFL.
Blue. State of Origin AFL, who would win?
No, would you be interested in seeing it or horses bolted?
Yeah. No, I would. I love it. I think State of Origin's unreal. I'd absolutely love to see it. Vic versus All-Stars, is that what you're thinking? Or do you want to see State?
All-Stars only works in Melbourne.
Yeah, so you could be good because I'm saying like Victorian, it'd be pretty. It'd be pretty unfair for you guys, I suppose, with us Victorians just bullying you. we're half, probably a quarter of the size and four times better. So it's sort of like I don't know what you'd want us to do. Maybe we'd have to do like a big country Vic Metro, like the old days, just to even it out a bit.
Mate, WA. If you look through WA's team, smack
Lance Franklin, Josh Kennedy, Jack Darling, Oscar Allen in the forward line.
Team of champions. Team of champions, not a champion team, mate.
Yeah, Nob. You're a Queenslander.
I'm a Queenslander. I've actually been reading a book on like rugby league and how it represents Queensland bigger. And I always just think it's the ultimate irony that State of Origin is the biggest thing in rugby league.
Yeah.
And it came about because AFL were doing it and they were like, oh, let's do
that. We've never got that.
Because the AFL started it and somehow they've just let NRL own the concept.
Nah, very good. I think State of Origin's gone with AFL.
But tonight I've
cancelled family dinner and everything, so I'll be locked 1A. So
I thought it was this is before the COVID stuff happened, but even then, the next broadcast deal, because it's not going to be what it was, they're going to need a bunch of different products to sell to different
Markets. Yeah, AFL's going to need it. Yeah.
So I think they're going to cut it off. That's why, you know, you could look at like one station has a Thursday night and then the others have all the other games. But then part of that is, so you get the AFL regular season, we need something else to sell.
Yeah.
And you could sell it to the players and the coaches then to say, here's your pay packet right now. Here's your pay packet if we don't get this done.
Yeah.
So you could sell that as a separate product and that's how you'd get it. How it works like on the ground and who God plays knows. Who every year. Oh yeah, God knows. But
that'll be great. The Stars will pull out and there'll be people like me and Dill out there running around. Yeah. Oh, that was a good deal for the broadcasters.
Well, Dill would have said he'd be runner, but then he just didn't show up on the day.
Definitely.
All right, anything else we need to touch on before we go?
Nah, I'm good.
Good?
I'm good, gentlemen. It's always good to chat.
I'm going to go have a beer, watch State of Origin, and I just got invited to do Dry July, so I'm going to make the most of it the next couple of
days. You're not going to do Dry July. Did you once sign a thing and do some big fitness kick as part of the radio where it's like, I don't have to drink, and then it lasted like a day?
I'm contemplating doing Dry July. I actually am.
I got to ask, are you one of those guys, if you do it, that you'll get 1,000 vouchers and you can buy a
car? No. I did that in my first year, Feb, whatever, at Hawthorne or second year, whatever, and it was $200 a weekend to miss. I just went and paid me $200 each weekend. Well, it was my birthday month and it was like, we went away on a trip down south. Or Portsy or whatever. So, no, I'm thinking about doing it. So, thanks for the support.
No worries.
Yeah, I believe in you, mate.
Yeah, go for gold.
All right, see ya.
It's been the Hardball Gets AFL show with thanks to the all new Mazda BT50, the complete package. See you next time.